You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Did anyone stay up and watch the Subway Series last night? The Mets-Yankees game?
No.
Oh, I saw the game on Saturday. The Saturday game was high drama. Baseball's done Field of Dreams and the 9/11 games really well, and I've been in on that. But yesterday going up against football, there was no shot I was watching baseball.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, it's football season now.
It is football season, but the Mets, Stugatz, what's going on with the Mets is funny. It's so perfect that it was Lindor, of all people, booing them, booing the fans with Baez, booing them back. Something you've never seen, where the Mets have to bring out, trot out Sandy Alderson. That guy's still rummaging around in baseball. And he has to say, our millionaires are not going to boo the fans being unhappy with Mets baseball across decades. And the Yankees are interested in streaking. No, after... Jessica, let's talk some baseball here. I know Billy wants to get in on some music, but let's talk some baseball.
I know it's football season, but this was actually a crazy game. And Stugatz, it's your New York Metropolitans who are on the come up. They won last night.
Yeah.
But apparently the Mets were accusing the Yankees of tipping pitches by whistling from the dugout in the game before. So then Lindor hit two home runs. And on the second one, he was like mocking, like whistling as he rounded the bases. And then Stanton hit a bomb and he stopped and he was rounding the bases to tell Lindor, like they had a confrontation, I guess. I don't know what they were saying.
Kerfuffle.
And then the benches cleared. They had a kerfuffle, yes. The benches cleared. A Yankees player did the thumbs down at Javi. It was like a whole thing last night. It was way better than the Rams-Bears game.
Guess the Yankee player who did the thumbs down at Javi Baez. Guessed it. Guardy.
Yes, of course it was going to be. Of course he was going to come out there with his buzz cut, foul off 40 pitches, and then do that.
Guardy's what
all,
he does.
Guardy's all amped up off of the 9/11 games and everything else. Guardy at this emotional military state is patriotic and dangerous on behalf of sportsmanship.
And then Lindor hit a third home run, and they won the game.
Can we talk about this? Let's talk about Lindor for a second, because this is funny. I love the fake whistling. You're booing your own fans. You're one of the highest paid players in sports. You've underachieved most of the year. You've got a loud owner that wants to make the Mets matter. Did that 30 for 30 come out on the 86 Mets yet? Is that
out
yet?
No, it comes out in a few weeks. Can't wait for it.
So your team, Stugatz, Stugatz's teams are in what order? Because we'll make fun of the Jets in a second. But his top team is the Jets, correct? It's Jets, and then is it Knicks, Mets, or is it Jets?
No. It's Jets, Mets, Knicks, Islanders in that order.
Also, yeah. This documentary that Stugatz is so looking forward to starts tomorrow night.
A few weeks, tomorrow night, tomato, tomato, whatever.
Mets,
tomato, tomato situation.
The Mets are booing their fans. What are you guys staring at?
We heard
at
a sound.
Other?
There was a fart.
Who farted? Who farted?
No, it's my dog.
Oh, that's what everyone.
You hear it?
No. Wait a minute.
Dog farts are the worst.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. At Le Batard Show, have you ever used the dog farting as an excuse to get out of your own farting?
No, it's not my dog farting. It's her toy. Do you hear it?
Ah, the toy. Yeah.
I'm not believing you.
The old toy excuse.
What if that was what my fart sounded like?
I'm alleging breakfast burrito. That's what I'm. Yeah. So I don't know.
You guys know I only eat oatmeal on air. That's the only thing I eat for breakfast. I do it on the show every morning. There's no breakfast burritos here.
Let's talk some NFL storylines from yesterday, the ones we didn't get to. Everyone enjoyed Urban Meyer losing that way as much as I did, right?
It's crazy how quickly that's going south. There's a report from before the game from Jason LaCanfora that everyone in the building thinks he's a crazy person, and he's screaming at everyone all the time, and he's losing his head if they lose a preseason game. College coaches that are used to winning 90% of their games cannot handle the NFL, and I can't imagine what that locker room was like after losing by 3 touchdowns to the Texans.
Yeah, the Texans who are tanking, right? The Texans who are big. Are they not actively throwing away their best pieces in order to just say, we'll figure this out after Bill O'Brien wrecked everything?
The Packers are tanking, Dan. The Texans are trying to win football games.
All right, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Who's tanking more this season, the Texans or the Packers? You have Aaron Rodgers dumping that game yesterday.
Did you see that one interception? He was not even trying to get it to his own wide receiver. It was as if the Saints cornerback was his wide receiver.
All right, stop there for a second, because those two quarterbacks, I read this stat somewhere, forgive me for not crediting it, but Trevor Lawrence and Aaron Rodgers were responsible for 40% of the interceptions in the sport yesterday. Because nobody's turning the ball over anymore. The evolution of that sport, we talked about it, Stugatz, after the games immediately, and you'll be able to catch us after these NFL games on Sundays immediately afterward. But you have seen a precision, an evolution. Basketball goes to the three-pointer. Baseball, all the shifts and all or nothing. In football, the precision of an offense has 3rd and 2, and they know how to get with a short pass those 3 yards just about with, because you can't do anything about athlete knows where he's going. He's going to turn around and quarterback's going to put it exactly where he is,
right,
where his hands are. And the precision is amazing. Mm-hmm. What we're watching what happened in the Washington game? Some absurd. Oh, how many catches did you see yesterday where a guy like Lockett is looking the.
No, it was McLaurin. McLaurin for me, where he's on the sideline and he's like kind of going side to side and it just falls over. It was an unbelievable. But it was by the sideline.
But you have like DeAndre Hopkins in the back of the end zone, or in the Detroit game on the 2-point conversion. You get a double tap on the toes, long receiver, where it's being thrown. You're just looking at this grace and athleticism at tight end and wide receiver. Got to where you got the basketball players at those positions, and you got the quarterback so precise that you can. I could give you the stat of Aaron Rodgers and Trevor Lawrence responsible for 40% of. As Aaron Rodgers, Stugatz, told us on South Beach Sessions, that I revolutionized the position. I turned that into a position where I turn the ball over less than anyone in the sport while also taking risks. The whole sport has evolved there. It really is, Mike. How many years did I spend complaining about Brock Osweiler and 3-yard outs and all the ridiculousness? I spent years there. The precision you're watching in that sport, and the fact that they've changed the rules to support the offense, and you simply cannot
play. Well, that's helped the precision,
right? You can't play football against an opposing team's quarterback. That quarterback is playing a different sport than you are physically. You're not allowed to hit him in a way that causes him fear or changes his game, and he's going to keep making those 3rd and 3s like Justin Herbert did. He's going to spend the rest of his career, Stugatz, Justin Herbert is, going 13 for 16 late in the game on 3rd downs because he can get 4 yards with that precision.
Week 1 over reaction time, though, Dan. Are you worried about Aaron Rodgers? You can't have that offseason and do that week 1.
I don't know what that
Unless
was.
Unless you're tanking. I mean,
I don't know what that was. I didn't recognize it. I'm not going to, when you say, am I worried about, it was weird to see, right? Like, I suppose we could all say that Jameis Winston is going to throw 5 touchdowns a game the rest of the season based on how they look. But it was just weird to see at any point Aaron Rodgers throw interceptions.
I thought the score was backwards on the scoreboard. Since I wasn't watching the game, I have no idea how it got to that point. How is Jameis Winston that much better than this Green Bay Packer team?
I don't think it's Jameis Winston, because Jameis Winston threw for like 145 yards. Like, he wasn't the one who carried that team. That defense has been...
He had 4 touchdowns.
Five touchdowns.
How do you throw that many with that little yards?
Right. Well, because their defense is awesome. and it's been awesome for several years. And because they're the Saints, like the Saints have this brand, it's the Sean Payton offense and a terrible defense. Their defense has been good for several years. The Packers have hurt offensive linemen. Their best guy, who's one of the best guys in the league, Bakhtiari, is out injured. He was under pressure, but also Aaron Rodgers is flatly bad against a really good secondary.
Did you guys see Drew Brees' analysis of the Saints last night after the game on NBC? It was great. He said clearly that's what they've been missing the last couple of years. A guy who can throw the deep ball.
Did you guys come to an agreement on the reporting hair plugs for Drew Brees? Hair plugs?
New hairstyle on Sunday night as well. But with Changed from Thursday to Sunday.
But with new hair, correct? It's not just a new hairstyle.
I mean, added hair.
It's just context clues, Dan.
But this has not been reported. Mort or Schefter haven't done anything.
The pictures are reporting it.
He looked, but he looks 10 years younger, though. He's
glowing.
He looks radiant, yes.
Million-dollar television smile. So good at smiling on television. I find it really hard. I can't smile on television. Drew Brees has got it down pat.
You say this is a funny thing to mention. Stugatz, while I was in New York, I saw Neil Brennan's one-man show.
Yeah.
This is actually a funny derail. Neil Brennan is at the table with the comedy greats. He's been knighted by these guys in the industry where, you know, Letterman and Colbert and Chris Rock, they're going to this little intimate one-man show in New York. And all of these guys are saying that Neil Brennan, co-creator of Chappelle's Show, our friend, is at the table with all of the... Think of it this way, Stugatz. I don't know how many brain surgeons or rocket scientists there are, but at any given time, you're allowed about 30 comedians, about 30 in the world where you're like, okay, I know that person, I can make that person rich because just on their funny. One of the things in comedy that is hard to arrive at is just the simple likability of Kevin Hart. Like, just people, whether you like his comedy or not, or whether you think it's pedestrian, or whether you want to argue with
him.
Chappelle's a legend. Kevin Hart, like him in a way, I want to buy things in his commercials. He wants to be a billionaire. I'm going to help him be a billionaire. He's going to have 1,000 employees. Kevin Hart fills out stadiums. Like, you can complain about his comedy, but you cannot complain about the work ethic and anything else. He does likable well. And Neil Brennan wears on his wrist something that looks like a watch that shocks him every 2 minutes to make him smile on stage. Like, he's in the middle of a 90-minute, he's in the middle of a 90-minute, you know, comedy memorization where you're sculpting, you're hitting like musical notes trying to do something artfully. I don't know. There was an off-Broadway show in and of itself. It's on Hulu. It's super interesting. It's a really cool thing to watch. And the director of that is the director of this. And Neil Brennan is trying to, you know, play with the form of comedy. Did Three Mics. It wasn't just funny. It was depressing. It was mental health. Like, we need a comedian to talk to this time as everyone's worried about being cancel cultured. And this dude is as great as anyone doing it right now, sculpting the skill. But you need to get to likable. And so he has a shock collar on his wrist, reminding him in the middle of all of this, smile. You got to smile because it doesn't come naturally to him, because so much of comedy comes from pain.
Did you find it difficult to smile when you were doing a lot of TV? I felt like you smiled a lot.
Whenever we laugh, I smile, but I'm not going for likable, clearly, Stugatz. If I am, I failed. Like,
sometimes I just sat there and smiled.
No,
that's all I did.
We lend the charm to you around here, Stugatz. I'm the guy who's not going for likable.
For me, Kevin Nagandi, best television smile at ESPN. Oh, wow. He is so good, so just taking you through the highlights of LSU and Oklahoma State, and he looks delighted to deliver it to you.
But to this point, Stugatz, the likable broadcasters, right? Romo, it sounds like he's enjoying it. We've talked about the people who are framing these games for you, okay? Because it happened yesterday, and it was uproarious to see it happen yesterday, Stugatz. The framing of these games by the announcers. Kansas City Chief on the sideline gets tangled up in a skirmish. Coach grabs at him in a jostling, violent fashion. Player pushes coach back. Authority figure has been touched. Never mind that there's violence all over the field and everyone's risking their spleens. Alarm should go off around the country. Authority figure has been touched. And thank God that dude was black, because otherwise it's a whole different conversation today on First Take and everywhere else. Thank you, sir, for being black. I mean, I didn't want to have that conversation today. God almighty. It was, this was young guy, you know, corn or braids. Oh, that one. Braids pushing is going to be Malice at the Palace. Like, you can't. Braids, that's alarms throughout the stadium. And then the broadcasters reacted with the consternation I haven't heard since, like, late 90s hurricane, like football, where
since Randy Moss did it.
We've touched the authority figure. Even though Stugatz, all he did was push him. First of all, the authority figure touched him first.
Right.
Second, all he did was push him in a way that is, because he's bigger and stronger. If he'd pushed any other player on the field, we would have been, yeah, where the Barbarians are, that's fine. Big deal. 15-yard penalty. We're not going to eject you.
He just pushed him back a little bit, just like, hey, enough.
The announcers respond with such fear. It gets to New York. Ejection. Crisis solved. Braids and cornrows under control.
You dodged the Kentucky Fried Chickens there, Dan. You actually said, I didn't want to do that show. Come on, after 3 weeks off, you know you wanted to do that show.
Bring them out. Please.
Yo, chicken time.
I love their work.
If he could have been old, too, like 90.
You wanted it to be Andy Reid.
No, one of
you, you were breaking down the replay. Tell me it's Reid.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically, I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
That game, you've gotten off light here on that game. Your Cleveland.
Why? I got it off light? My Cleveland Browns brought it to the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning AFC champions. We let them off the hook, Dan. I said it was going to be a classic. And it was probably a classic on, finish away.
You put him on upset alert, Mike.
You put him on
Mike.
Upset alert. And I have not seen Billy as happy in 2 years as I saw him at about 7:30 last night when he was maniacally texting Stan Van Gundy to rip Baker Mayfield. Look there. That's the first time I've seen Billy from behind the mask.
Maniacally? I mean, just catching up with my friend Stan.
For the first time since October of last year.
We really only have one thing we talk about, right? And it's like when Baker throws an interception. Gonna be like, see what happened there, and it's a one-way relationship. I look for points of connection, and that's what I found with Stan. We don't have a lot.
So, okay? did
you have to say, "Hey, it's Billy," because a year had gone since you texted last?
No. The last time I texted him was congratulating him on the Pelicans' job. Now that one didn't stick, but
right. Mike, I have to salute you, okay? Because the Cleveland Browns have not won on an opening day since 2004. I think it's 0-16-1.
Oof.
And they were a lot of fun yesterday. That was the game of the day. I don't know that there's anything in sports more exciting than Patrick Mahomes down and desperate, because then he gets four downs. And they were up nine, and they're the only team in the sport. You're up nine on them. You've gone up nine on them, 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
You're not comfortable.
At all.
No.
There's not.
You have no reason to be. Right?
Maybe Tampa has this too, just because, Brady's earned it over all of these years.
I think the Packers had that until yesterday.
Well, but it's not. It's a whole different class, Stugatz. It's like, this is offense as well as it can be played.
In 3 minutes.
It's Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And I heard the announcers during the game. Well, what you have to do here is stop them. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
That's what they had right. to do there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they stopped them all game, though.
Yeah, no,
I mean.
but
no, they hadn't stopped them necessarily.
Not at all.
They were keeping them at bay because Kansas City couldn't stop them. And for three quarters, I was thinking maybe I had one of those offenses that you just have to outpace. But once Nick Chubb had that fumble, you kind of knew that was the kind of game that we just had to keep scoring. I really enjoyed that game, not just because the game was awesome, but because I could fully lean into, oh my God, I have a good football team and I could be a little confident and I'm in the Midwest, so I don't have to worry about someone throwing a shoe at me when I point to my watch and say it's Nick Chubb time, which definitely blew up in my face the way that you would think it did.
Right afterward, he fumbled, right? You were pointing at your watch. What was in the section?
Surrounded by people doing this to me, just pointing at their watch. I thought you said it was Chubb time.
Oh, they're so nice.
Wait, were you in a section of Chiefs fans? How many Browns fans were in the section of Chiefs fans with you?
I had two other Browns fans in my section. It was one of those things that at the tailgate, I'm like this every time I travel to a Miami game. I'm like, wow, we have such strong representation here. That stadium might be 50-50. And I go in there. I'm like, oh my God, this is terrifying. It is louder than it's ever been described to me. Everyone is literally on top of the field. I highly recommend anyone go there. It's a great spot for tailgating, and it's an amazing place to watch a game. And obviously, it's one of the great teams of our time. They're absolutely terrifying. The people are nice, so you can jaw back and forth with them, and it's all in good fun and spirit. I had an amazing time at that game, and I'm encouraged because I think my Cleveland Browns, if I look at the AFC, they're as well positioned as anybody to go into that stadium in January and maybe knock them out.
My point on why it is that he should feel good about his team is not just because of whatever the moral victory there is in that. Is there are all sorts of games played yesterday. Miami and New England played one of them. Cincinnati and Minnesota played one of them. But I think we come away, without being knee-jerks about this stuff, that a whole lot of teams are going to be the same in that league, and we'll see who gets injured and who doesn't. But there will be a handful that will be fun to watch because they can do things. And old Chubb time, after all of these years, after two decades of epic football failure where his team hasn't mattered, they went into Kansas City yesterday, and that was the game of the day. It was fun. And if not for Mahomes and that team being something that we probably haven't seen, because Mahomes right now is on a stretch, Stugatz, faster to all the stats than Marino, faster to all the stats than Kurt Warner. Like if he stays healthy, best ever is going to be what it looks like, because that's what you're facing when you go in there. And it's the only team in the sport. You get up 9 on them and they erase it in a play, one play, 75 yards. And you're like, yeah, because Tyreek Hill is faster than everyone on the field. And they'll throw the ball to Travis Kelce every time, even if he's double covered and you can't do anything about it.
Mike, this is interesting to me because I understand your feel good and you have every right to feel really good about your football team. But when you're up 22-9, I think it was on that team, or 22-10 on that team at halftime, and then you have a lead going into the fourth quarter, like you had to feel a little disappointed you could come away with a victory with that defense and that running game. That's all, Mike.
I'm a little disappointed, yeah, but I think that there are lessons there for Cleveland. And obviously, Beckham, I was a little surprised that Beckham didn't play there. You can see how this offense really highlights individual matchups, and he's somebody that hopefully he makes that catch where Schwartz drops it. That was a very nice pass from Baker. It was a big-time throw. Hit Schwartz in the hands. He drops it. The most amazing thing about seeing Patrick Mahomes live, though, is you're not confined to the TV angle, right? So you can see exactly when plays break down, where plays break down in multiple spots of the field, and it's better when a play breaks down for him. That's what was so frustrating about Bryce Young in Alabama. You do all the right things. You get to the quarterback. He's got the mobility. That Tyreek Hill bomb is kind of lucky. You just have two of the greatest athletes to play their positions in Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. But that play was kind of broken up. Tyreek goes off of his route, and he just knows that he has a quarterback that can throw it further and faster than anybody, and there's no catching him when he's one-on-one like that. They're an amazing team. Damn near unstoppable. But I think Cleveland can do it in January.
Mahomes said after the game, when he was throwing to Tyreek Hill, he couldn't see him. He just saw an arm. And that's where he threw it to, an arm.
Okay. Dude's playing a different game, man.
Let's talk about this for a second, because I like just the macro of that. My point on the Browns is they're going to matter. whether they're good or not, whether they go 10-7 or whatever, they're going to be a team that you have to pay attention to because they just went in there and did that, and most teams aren't going to go in there and
I'm so
that.
Jealous of Mike. He's going on a journey with his team where they're taking steps, and yesterday was a step, and it's really annoying that you're two plays away, as Mike mentioned, the Chubb fumble and getting a punt away
Correct.
From being even more competitive, but that's a step along the way, right? Like, if they beat Kansas City at some point, you'll look back at, oh, we were close for 3.5 quarters and just couldn't get over the line against a generational team.
It was a step for the Texans 2 years ago. Look where they are now.
Oh, but
just
yeah,
things
no,
can
but,
change
no,
so
it's,
quickly.
It's the same thing we're talking about Alabama. The things that's not going to change those two guys, unless they get hurt, unless Kansas City gets hurt, what's not going to change is teams will come in and out of being able to compete with them, whether it's Houston or Cleveland, and maybe they disappear.
Right.
But because you have Mahomes and Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and because they do an off day yesterday, and it's still more points than every team in the league but four, and because they're down 9 and it doesn't matter at all that they're down 9, and you're still terrified of them on 3rd-and-14 and on 4th-and-4, you're just terrified of what it is that Mahomes is going to do, you can spend a decade there, Mike, just chasing. But like, they're going to be the standard for a decade if they stay healthy, and they might lose occasional games. But Mike's team matters, and what I wanted to get into with you guys is the evolution of the quarterback position, because, and Justin Herbert might do it the traditional way, but I think as Eli Manning and Peyton Manning go over to ESPN Plus, I think you're going to see something more and more at that position, because Kyler Murray is saying, okay, never mind about that height thing, and Russell Wilson, best deep ball you've ever seen. But even Russell Wilson has gotten old now, and these young quarterbacks and these fresh legs, Stugatz, with these rules of not, we're not going to hurt the quarterback.
Right.
You're seeing even from a Tyrod Taylor, they will stand 10 yards back in the pocket, and these incredible defensive linemen who are, you know, Javon Kearse and all these people who are just ridiculously gifted, they just sidestep, move to the side, do what Kyler Murray's doing. Like, it's not... It eliminates the threat of the traditional post...
The pocket passer.
The pocket pressure.
Yeah.
The pressure of the pocket, of playing offense. Like, there were a couple of times yesterday, Kyler Murray, he's just going around pirouettes. There are two guys around him. No, I know I could just back up here, and neither one of you are going to bother me because it's a fly with chopsticks, right? Like, I'm just that much more athletic than all of your defensive linemen.
Jalen Hurts was doing the same thing. But, Dan, there are still, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo's out there, and, of
course,
Tom Brady.
But I'm saying what's coming. No, yeah. But I'm saying... Yes, Tom Brady. But what I'm saying is, this is how the young people, I don't know, maybe it won't. Maybe it won't work. Look, Tannenbaum was right when he said Justin Herbert's the guy I would have taken. Not Tua, not Burrow, Justin Herbert.
Burrow's really good,
okay,
though.
Okay, no, but I don't mean that as a slight as Burrow. I'm just watching Justin Herbert.
He looks different. He looks special.
As a pocket passer, he might be able to keep it alive. But we're moving the way of Josh Allen. Like, we agree on this, correct? Even after yesterday's game, the position's not going to stay at what it's been. It's going to continue to move here to this athleticism where my quarterback can get me 7 seconds to throw, and then I'll have all my wide receivers running away from your defensive backs for 7 seconds instead of two.
I mean, you have two guys kind of waiting in the wings right now in Justin Fields and Trey Lance. So, yeah, I think that's clearly where this position is headed, obviously. Yeah, and it's exciting because they play more.
Not just that your old quarterbacks who have dominated this league for a decade get survival of the fittest out. It's a whole new revolution of the sport during the time of provision where back there, you can watch some playground ball, and you got Lamar Jackson tonight, where you're watching what Polian was telling you is why Lamar Jackson wouldn't be a quarterback in this league. You're watching the evolution right now, where that position, you're going to more and more get the best athlete of the field back there, and instead of having going the other way on time and evolution execution of, I got to get this out in 2 seconds because, holy shit, Myles Garrett is on one side and Clowney's on the other. I got 2.5 seconds to get, or I got 8 seconds.
Right.
Because my quarterback's just going to run,
and
he can throw the ball 70 yards downfield. So, oh, look, Lockett is behind your secondary because I've got a super athletic quarterback who avoids sacks.
Remember where we were in 2015? A lot of us were choosing to not watch NFL football. We all agreed that the NFL had a problem on its hands. The games were boring. The passes were 3 yards long. And through rule changes and dynamic talents entering the league and an arms race to find your next Mahomes and a rookie wage scale that has made it cap friendly for you to keep taking hacks. The NFL has fixed it, and now pro football is elegant to watch on television. It's beautiful. Watching the Kansas City Chiefs was a beautiful experience. The pre-snap motion, the speed, the talent, the grace. It was like watching Barca back in its heyday. It was incredible to watch, and the NFL has fixed it through those rules changes.
Well, I think college has really helped fix it because you have these types of quarterbacks playing at the biggest universities. There were two over the weekend I was watching, Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, and Anthony Brown from Oregon. Dan, those guys are NFL quarterbacks.
Stugatz, what Mike is saying, though, about when you take all of this, right, all of these evolutions that you have where you've got the Alabama factory that exists between as an academy, between the minor leagues and the majors, to just spit out now quarterbacks, three of them started yesterday, wide receivers all over the place. The thing that Mike is saying that will ward off what Mark Cuban was predicting 12 years ago when he's like, this bubble will burst. That sport can't keep getting more popular. It is concussions. It's attrition. It's violent. It's unethical. It's cockfighting. It can't keep growing. This bubble's going to burst. And in the middle of that, we're watching Brock Osweiler, cement-footed, back in the pocket. I'm going to throw it out here 3 yards, and I'm going to spend the season doing that. And to the point where you create in me a hatred I had not seen inside my body for football since I saw Urban Meyer suffering on the sideline yesterday. Like, the whole spread between that was I didn't feel that again, like a vitriol, an acid. I don't want good things to happen here. And now look at it.
Right.
He's talking about the ballet of basketball. He's talking about the beauty of those wide receivers are so skilled that even these defensive backs who are unbelievable, they're cheetahs, all of them. Ridiculous cheetahs. And the wide receivers are more graceful because it's Julio Jones, because it's these guys that if a quarterback is going to throw it to one spot and that guy is so big and strong that you can't do anything about it because he's you know, Brandon Marshall fast. Everyone in the league now is Brandon Marshall fast, right? All of these guys, Metcalf.
What are you going to do with that?
Like, what is any human being throughout the species of time, like throughout time, going to do with Metcalf when he wants the football? And so for the sport to become beautiful, artful again after concussions and violence and everything else, that is a tribute to them fixing those rules to make it something more interesting than it's been.
I think the NFL has just become a lot more like college football. Now you see a proliferation of spread and air raid offenses in the NFL, and the scheme has evolved to make it a more exciting and fun game. And now in college, you know, you watch a handful of really great players surrounded by players that are not really pro level. And now in the NFL, it's the best players in the country all running these exciting, fast-paced offenses. And that's why it's just gotten a lot more fun to watch.
But it is to do with the evolution of these talents, because it used to be to have a mobile quarterback was a choice, right? You either had to run a pro-style offense or a system that benefited a mobile quarterback. Michael Vick was not a good quarterback in the traditional way. He was a great runner, he had a great arm, but wasn't a great quarterback. It's interesting. I heard over the weekend that Lamar Jackson spent entire practices in the run-up to this season just playing from the pocket. Like in a training camp practice, never scrambled to try and get better at this. And the amazing thing about these talents is that they do have both. You can stand in the pocket, be traditionally good at playing the position, while also having remarkable athleticism, and it's unplayable.
This is what I'm telling you, though, about what has been, Stugatz, 4 or 5 decades of this sport getting to this spot where Bill Polian sees a quarterback looking a certain way. Peyton Manning drops back. He's got a stiff neck. We've got to be a pocket passer. I am going to throw with great precision. And that held down the position across decades.
Right.
That's what it looked like. It couldn't look like anything else. Nothing but that had succeeded. So Fran Tarkenton or Archie Manning, who was actually an athlete at the position. Nope. It can't be John Elway. It can't be somebody like that. It's got to be pure drop back.
That just won a Super Bowl again.
Okay, but this is how. That's fine, Stugatz. And you.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You get to win for now, and maybe Tom Brady will be doing 20 years from now.
No.
I'm talking about is what's coming for the position, why it's coming for the position, and how it's been held back over the years. Over the years, Stugatz, because the moment Brady went down, Brady, none other, all the rules changed. And now You got at that position. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not allowed to hit that guy. Andy's more athletic than me. And then watch how the position evolves, forced by merit, Stugatz. Forced.
Right.
But forced over. They don't, Stugatz, they have not what they look at the guys who get the commercials and the broadcasts. It's all the white quarterbacks. It's yeah. all of them. All they get or Greg Olsen. Like those are the guys that get
Jason Witten.
Like it's just again and again, those are the guys that get the job. And this is how it is that the black guys have finally and Josh Allen, but not Daniel Jones.
Right.
This is how these guys have finally cracked the code. And oh, the old guys, they're gonna be gone soon. They played that way. Now I need 8 seconds to throw the ball. Who's going to get me extra time for my guy to get away from the defensive back? And it's just been forced on the sport, but you've got to watch it. You've gotten to watch it through your lifetime, how it wouldn't change, protected by Polians, won't change. Brady's hurt. Rule change. Okay, here's the flood. The athletes, you can't hit them, and they're better athletes than you were.
Randall Cunningham was a novelty. Now it's the norm. And that's a good thing. This is not about right or wrong, Dan. I'm agreeing. I love to see the evolution of this position. I love seeing guys like Trey Lance, you know, having opportunities and probably going to be a really good quarterback. I'm just saying, you're not going to get that out of the game, the pocket pass of the Kirk Cousins. It's not going to be as quick as I think many people think.
That's fine. And maybe it'll be 10 years. Right. All I'm marveling.
But it's headed in the right direction.
No, I'm not. Stugatz, this isn't a moral thing for me. I'm just marveling that we're sitting in the middle of the evolution. I'm not making the, gleeful here because, hey, finally, the black quarterback. I'm just fascinated that we're right smack dab in the middle of this is how it finally evolves. You get people yelling across 30 years, Stugatz. You can't win with a black quarterback, a scrambling quarterback, a mobile quarterback. You can't win that way. And now, because of the offensive changes, because the college coaches are scheming it up differently, because the game is such an amazingly precise thing now, so refined, that it's shocking when Tyreek Hill or Lockett are in your secondary free. Because everybody's on top of everybody, and these are the best athletes you've ever seen crawling all over each other at the height of evolution in America's most popular sport. And we are right now sitting through what is the golden age of change, Stugatz. In sports, sports don't like change. You like the things that you've seen. You resist change. We right now, we're in the golden age of what looks like the evolution because all of you looked at week one, and no matter what your ethical concerns, and I've had them across years, you're like, that's beautiful. Beautiful. That is the way soccer's beautiful. That the athletes on this field are ridiculous. Everything is absurd. You're throwing it to a 6'9" tight end, and you have to put it in a spot because he's got two. You know, he's got three guys crawling up like a scaffolding his shoulder pads.
Beautiful, just about everywhere, but in Pittsburgh. that guy.
That whole game was a disaster. Every time I looked up, the Bills had 20 yards of offense. What was happening there?
Bad game.
I thought that was going to be 38-35. It was like 13-3 at halftime.
Honestly, the Steelers looked exactly like they did last year plus Najee Harris because the defensive line played incredible. The secondary was shockingly really good. The Bills' offense couldn't get anything going, but as soon as Ben went on the field, I was like, oh, please, no.
Well, that's the other thing. This is one of the other evolutions, though, on the other side of the ball, Stugatz. These unblockable guys, the Aaron Donalds, the TJ Watts, the Miles Garretts,
Hayward.
I mean, all of these guys, right? That's the other side of the ball evolving. Oh, look, you're going to go get all of these 6'7" basketball players to play tight end. We're going to get to your quarterback faster with all of these 6'7" basketball players. And the most dominant guys you're watching out there, and they all look like Lawrence Taylor. Chandler Jones, how badass a family is the Bones Jones family? How scary is that entire... Chandler Jones, 5 sacks yesterday, and every time he's back there, it's like, why is it only 5?
Taylor Lewan.
How is he not getting back there? Right? Just 5? Only Chandler Jones only had 5 sacks today. Why? Failure of a game for him, because nobody should be able to block him on any play. That's the evolution on the other side, right?
Yeah, it's Miles Garrett. Yeah, it's guys like that. Yes.
Who's the most unblockable guy in the league right now?
Oh, what? Donald?
Aaron Donald.
Donald.
Although he wasn't very good last night. Like, they did like a comparison of him and Khalil Mack in the third quarter, and neither of them had done very much. But I think it's because both sides are terrified. Like, they didn't put Justin Fields out there because they're terrified of Aaron Donald.
There are times that I will read about Rams games without having seen them, and it's totally baffling to me because I don't think anyone in the history of the sport has been able to have a stat line that is somehow, you know, zero tackles and three hurries, and he's ruined the entire game. Like, if you weren't watching it, you would just think he went like...
he wrecked the game,
but
yes.
Everyone is so terrified of he's going to destroy everything and be running down the football field with the ball under his arm, or somebody's going to be running because he's gonna sit here and ruin our offense. But after that, who is it? After Aaron Donald, what? Because it's Chandler Jones, it's T.J. Watt, it's Myles Garrett, it's a whole...
Von Miller.
Von Miller's back, yeah, and has a couple of sacks, but he's not... Is he going to be the same thing this year? No, probably not, right? Like,
he had two sacks yesterday.
And so. COVID?
Yeah.
COVID?
I think he's going to be same really good.
It's the same thing. Fangs defense. But I'm not telling Chandler Jones after that performance he's not the best in the NFL. Going up against that left tackle from that family, it's Chandler Jones, sir.
You know Aaron Donald, like, he knew they were going to win that game against the Bears. After the first, 5 minutes, he's like, I'm gonna leave some gas in the tank for later this season. I don't need to do this to Andy Dalton. He's going through enough right now.
Whitty, can you get, I need to get that Deckerhoff sound because I want to enjoy for a moment this FSU the way that
just
FSU,
Deckerhoff
way,
makes me laugh.
But before we do that, I want to say something again just to shock the audience, and in the event that you weren't with us last night when we were doing the post game off of all of the football from Sunday. Stugatz, tonight, the Raiders, one of their co-captains is Richie Incognito. And I believe everyone in America who is hearing this for the first time is having the same reaction I am. I did, which is, you're kidding.
I'm proud of him.
I mean, I think Richie Incognito, I believe, has overcome enough, given that time heals all if you stick around long enough. Richie Incognito gets to be a redemption story over racism, over bullying, over mental health stuff. Boca Raton Gymnasium's talking about, the government is coming to get him, throwing weights at people.
Yeah.
Co-captain. There's never been a more perfect pairing than the Raiders' history in Las Vegas, and their co-captain tonight is Richie Incognito, who is still playing years after that goddamn task force the Miami Dolphins formed to investigate his bullying scandal.
Curtis Martin has still not rendered a verdict.
Don Shula's no longer alive.
Did they ever meet once?
They never met. That task force, they never met to investigate a bullying scandal. The audience is receiving this information the same way I'm delivering it, right? You're kidding. Richie Incognito is still in the league. Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Are you stunned? Incognito is still in the league.
And a captain
for the Raiders.
Yes.
But please play that Deckerhoff sound for us, Whitty.
Get a first down right now. They still got a chance, I guess, to call the timeout to try to get their kicking team out there.
Six. Here's the snap. Throwing the deep bomb down the far sideline. Caught ball at the 10-yard line to the 5-yard line.
Are you serious?
Jacksonville State with no time left.
I just said keep everything in front of you.
The Gamecocks have taken the lead and will win this ball game. 20-17.
What is the
he threw his headsets.
What is the courtesy on that, Whittingham?
The Florida State Seminoles Radio Network.
So I want to paint the picture for those of you who have not seen it, if you have not seen it, because I don't believe I've seen a game end this way before. It was just a bit confusing to see Florida State terrified of the Jacksonville State timeout. Playing defense on the goal line in a way that was not smart.
Perhaps that game ends, Hail Mary, something like that. This is a guy who caught a ball and still had 20 yards to go.
Yes, and kind of made his way in untouched. And basically, you saw at the end of the first half of Chiefs and Brown, Stugatz. Mm-hmm. There's a flip to Baker Mayfield, and it's a surprise play, and they're going 40 yards downfield. And as soon as Baker Mayfield gets to the 12-yard line, there are 400 people there to tackle him because there's supposed to be a last line of defense on these things.
Mm-hmm.
There was not. And Deckerhoff, who has seen a lot of Florida State football. Florida State, I mean, Bobby Bowden just passed away. Deckerhoff, across decades, has been your old-timey radio announcer. He has seen the glory days of this franchise, and now it's nowhere near Alabama. And they had some hope because, we were close against Notre Dame. Does that mean that perhaps we're back? And then you're playing at home against Jacksonville State. Again, many of us, I still don't know. Is Jacksonville,
it's in Alabama, Dan.
Thank you.
It's not even the most. Yeah. It's not even the most famous Jacksonville. Can we play that sound one more time? Because I
would put them on par with App State. But go ahead, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, FCS versus FBS.
They lost to UAB 31-0.
Toledo needs to stay out of this right now. So the unmistakable toss of a headphones still gets me every time. Remote broadcast.
The best.
And there is no way better to signify your frustration than by throwing headphones. I believe that was William Floyd on the FSU broadcast that
What were you guys telling me about EJ Manuel? Also from a part of Florida State's past that was more glorious than this one. What was going around on, was he during the broadcast, he was despondent?
Yeah, so he is part of the ACC Network studio team. This game was on ACC Network. So they do the post-game interview with the hero receiver for Jacksonville State. They wrap up the broadcast. They go to the studio. Mark Richt is consoling poor EJ Manuel, who's got his head in his hands, realizing that he's got a comment on Florida State. And like Jordan Cornett comes into the broadcast saying, this might be the worst loss in their program's history, without hyperbole.
Okay.
And EJ Manuel's head in his hands, despondent, 6 minutes after this happens.
Okay, so with that as the context, and I'm sorry I didn't do this better before, because you need all of the historic context on this so that the comedy of this resonates with you. It's all of it, okay? It's the sudden realization in... This is an audio medium. This is Gene Deckerhoff, old-timey radio guy.
To the 47-yard line. Yes,
he is broadcasting.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
Help me with this, Whitty, because I would like to set... I want to set the scene for people because this is from a bygone time, back when Florida State and Miami mattered. 20 years ago, might as well be a million, the way Alabama's playing, right? Just a million years ago. Players all over the field. Old-timey radio guy Gene Deckerhoff from Tallahassee. He was broadcasting. Florida State and Miami were running college football for a decade. Deckerhoff was in the middle of it.
Yeah, he was.
And he's still out there fighting, and he's on the radio, and he's with William Floyd, a fullback from those glory days, a punishing, punishing back. Back again when Florida State was running the entire sport. On the sidelines, EJ Manuel would be a pro quarterback, a disappointing one, but his time at Florida State was fun. They were a program that mattered. Deckerhoff's in the booth. We've just buried Bobby Bowden. Deckerhoff's still out there. He's going to protect these glory days.
As Cortez points out in the chat, for the 42nd consecutive season on Florida State Radio.
Yes, and he is a voice for your lifetime. Generations, plural, have grown up on this man's voice.
It's an iconic voice. Yes. Great pipes in
that
man.
But Florida State, listen to me. Deckerhoff deserves better than you. You guys, what you did to him, this man is right by your program side.
He does call the Bucks games as well.
That's fine. And
that used to be his side gig. Now it's like he's got to slum it with Florida State.
He's holding on to the very end, and he has his dignity, and he's trying to protect yours.
Dan, in year 42, when you're calling a Jacksonville State loss at home, that's I'm getting too old for this.
No,
shit,
but
right
no,
there.
Is this really worth it?
He also travels
maybe
by.
It was
he travels by bus for these games.
Of
he
course.
Doesn't like flying. He's got to drive from Tampa to Tallahassee.
It might have been his headphones and not William Floyd's that were thrown to the table.
I want to play this again because all of this needs to be understood. What Mike is saying is this part's also true. Deckerhoff has no idea as he broadcasts where you're hearing him anymore.
He's just talking.
He's just talking. He doesn't know if it's a podcast. Or any of them. Where are you? Everyone who was listening to me in the parking lot now has a phone with 70 devices. They can all listen to the game inside. Dekkerhoff has no idea where he's being heard, but his sadness is going to be heard. William Floyd is going to throw his headset here. I want you to hear the crowd clearly deflate. You can hear it. You can hear listen in the background to the crowd slowly realizing, oh, Gene, we know. Gene, this is going to end this way. Gene, this hurts. We've never seen it end this way.
Get a first down right now. They still got a chance, I guess, to call the timeout to try to get their kicking team out there.
Six. Here's the snap. Throwing the deep bomb down the far sideline. Caught ball at the 10-yard line to the 5-yard line.
Touchdown,
Jacksonville State with no time left.
I just said keep everything in front of you.
The Gamecocks have taken the lead and will win this ball game. 20-17.
Dekkerhoff stayed with it all the way through. A true professional.
Pros pro.
But William Floyd reacted to that. Again, yes. This is a fullback from the late 90s.
I just said to keep everything in front of you.
He's a fullback. Look, this dude, let me explain something to you. He was a battering ram for 10 years in the pros, and he was a battering ram, it seems like, for 10 years at FSU. 20 years. This guy has been bumping his head against things, and he goes through the stages of grief on this where he goes to, I just told you, this is the one way that we can't lose the game. Even I, the battering ram who's been hitting my head for 20 years, knows. This is, you can't lose that way here.
I just said keep everything in front of you.
The Gamecocks have taken the lead. No
way.
Win this ball game.
William,
he knows Norvell can't hear him, right?
But this is the part that I want you guys to understand. In this moment, William Floyd was not talking to his partner, Dekkerhoff. He was not interested in your broadcast constructs of I talk, then you talk, let a moment breathe. He was turning to his family in the living room, and after years of frustration FSU football, he was just turning to his most beloved ones and like, didn't I say that these idiots shouldn't have done this?
We've all watched football with someone who's always doing I told you so.
What I say.
Yeah.
But William
it's
Floyd.
It's you, Witty. You're that guy.
No, I don't watch football that way. I don't go, you got to keep him in front. I'm not doing cliche analysis of a Hail Mary.
No, you watch the other football that way. You watch soccer that way.
Point. That's a good point.
It's the one thing that I knew going into that play.
Right.
If I know that everything is supposed to be kept in front of you, like, this is insane.
It's not cliche. It's standard procedure. That's why he's so angry.
It's the most basic of analysis.
I just want all of you, because it's, again, these guys don't know where they're broadcasting to.
They just know they're being heard in the bathroom of Doak Campbell Stadium.
They don't know where they're being heard. William Floyd absolutely forgets he's on a broadcast. I am stunned that he didn't simply start cursing. And whatever it is EJ Manuel was feeling, he would give voice to. Because he's exasperated that what he built at FSU, that it's now that, Stugatz. Mm-hmm. That it loses like that at the end of a game.
Throwing the deep bomb down the far sideline. Caught ball at the 10-yard line to the 5-yard line.
Are you serious?
Jacksonville State with no time left.
I just said keep everything in front of you.
The Gamecocks have taken the lead and will win this ball game. 20-17.
He just left. Someone told him, hey, you got to lay half for Gene here.
I don't know who threw the headset because Dekkerhoff got pissed there, and it wasn't at FSU. I think it was at Floyd.
Oh, no doubt. That's what I'm saying.
He started shouting Gamecocks at him like, get out of my way. I'm broadcasting the end of my career. And look, let's be honest about it. I'm toward the end of my life. Let me have these moments here on the broadcast if we're going to suffer like this, broadcasting into only the bathroom.
Throwing the deep bomb down the far sideline. Caught ball at the 10-yard line to the 5-yard line.
Are you serious?
Jacksonville State with no time left.
I just said keep everything in front of you.
The Gamecocks have taken the lead and will win this
ballgame. That was Dekkerhoff hitting him with an elbow, wasn't it? The Gamecocks.
And then Floyd took it outside. He had the bench. I mean.
All right. Yes.
You cannot lose to a team that is simultaneously the lesser-known Gamecocks and the lesser-known Jacksonville.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, please. Can you lose to a team that is simultaneously the lesser-known Gamecock and lesser-known Jacksonville? And speaking of headsets being thrown, Stugatz,
yeah,
we end with an old classic. Oh, it is always funny when the old-timey radio guy gets furious and throws his headset. So we go back to the glory days
right.
of Stugatz early in radio and live reads to tape with a good friend who's not a good friend, never met him, don't know anything about him, Ken Arnold.
Before we break, want to bring on my good buddy Ken Arnold, Everglades Capital Management, the Hirsch Arnold team. Kenny, how you doing today? Kenny. Waiting for Ken, trying to hook him up here. Ken, you with us? We'll try again. You guys got him? We'll take a quick timeout. You guys figure it out. Goodbye.
This Friday, Boy Kills World, the must-see action movie event of the year, hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.